And we're back at it again.
So I was waiting for that. I was like, what are we gonna do? Hi guys.
Hi.
We're back.
We are back.
It's been a long, long slumber.
It has, and we're sorry about that.
A longer hiatus than we anticipated.
And a kind of an unexpected one.
Yeah.
Because we were heading into October, spooky time. We were really embracing it. And this is going to be a vulnerable hour for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to basically just kind of let you in on what I've been dealing with.
We're going to do that first. So if you, want to hear it because you care about Mindy like the rest of us do, listen. If not, you can skip just
totally
a little bit.
If you just want to
we'll
hear
get
crimes,
to the case.
I don't blame you because, I'm sick of this. So
I blame you, but she doesn't blame me.
I don't blame you if you don't want to listen. But basically, so I've been dealing with a brain disease and a connective tissue disease for about 4 years now. It's called idiopathic intracranial hypertension, and then I also have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So I'm not sure if they cause, I know that they don't cause each other, but the Ehlers-Danlos might be why I have some of the problems I have with my brain. Essentially, sorry this is long and convoluted.
No, I think it's necessary.
It's complicated. So basically, right. My body makes too much cerebral spinal fluid, and it can't get it off my brain. Mm-hmm. So about 4 years ago, I started to lose my vision every time I moved or stood up. And, at 31 years old, I'm like, okay, I don't think that's normal.
31-year-olds don't go blind just because.
So I ended up going to the doctor and found out that my optic nerves were super swollen. And basically had to get a spinal tap every week to maintain the natural pressure you should have in your head because...
Which is intense. That's intense.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And scary, to be honest.
The whole thing
you don't
is
want a
scary.
Needle in your spine. It's not fun.
No.
But basically since mine was not responding to medication, I had to have a I can't even remember how to say it, but ventroperitoneal something.
That sounds...
I have a shunt in my brain. So right here, I don't know if you can see the scar, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way down my neck into my abdomen, and it basically drains that extra fluid off.
Feels pretty gnarly if you ever touch your head. Don't touch
it
your
does.
Head.
It does. It feels really weird. So I have to warn all my hairdressers and anybody that's touching my
don't
head.
Don't be alarmed.
Yeah, I'm like, hey,
I'm part
sorry.
Robot.
Yeah, don't be alarmed. but anyway, I'm at a stable pressure now, but I experience severe chronic pain to the point where I can't work a normal 9-to-5 in person type of job just because when your CSF fluid is flowing normally the pressure will change depending on exercise or depending on movement, bending over. So the more active I am, the more CSF fluid I produce.
Right.
And it's, since I have only this one tube that drains, it can be super painful and it fluctuates and it changes with the pressure.
And it's not something, I feel like this is important. It's not something that you can just adjust.
Exactly.
It's not like an insulin pump, in my case, where you can just adjust the doses and you're fine within a couple days when you normalize. This is you have to set an appointment at an obscure doctor's office.
Right, right. So, it's really taken me several years to get the shunt to the right setting. Mm-hmm. And I literally have to travel to Cleveland, the Cleveland Clinic, to have that done. And I'm I'm kind of an interesting person with this disease. I'm not the normal.
You're an interesting person anyway.
I guess.
But with this disease too.
Yeah. So basically, I've been having a second issue that has been honestly making the head pain a lot worse. And I'm working with some doctors to try to resolve that. But it's been really hard for me to do anything. Anything to get out of bed, walk down the stairs, take a shower. That is difficult for me. Especially in the wintertime, with the change of pressure. So that is why I needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was good timing, I think.
Yeah.
The holidays is a good reason to take a break anyway, because our lives get busier.
For sure.
Inevitably.
And it's pretty normal, I think, for podcasts to do that,
to take a seasonal kind of breather.
And I also want to say, like, people, like, fans, like, reached out. And
that almost made me cry.
I know. Like, thank you for caring, for one. And also, we're so sorry that we've kept you waiting so long. But, you know, we're human beings and diseased human beings that, like, have a hard time. So we appreciate your understanding.
Yeah.
And we're ready to get back to it.
We are. We are. As part of that, though, I did want to, now I get to say a more boring part, is we recently stopped qualifying for running ads on our podcast. So those who are not familiar with how podcasts work, if you get a certain amount of consistent plays of your episodes, you qualify for ads, and they just throw ads in there. We record some and throw them in there, and that's how we make money. That's how we are able to financially produce the show.
Right.
But because of our various breaks that we take and stuff like that, we've become ineligible, which honestly to us is fine.
It doesn't even really matter, because like, this is, we do this for fun, and we enjoy it.
We want to make this content for you,
right?
So between the two of us, we decided we're going to stop caring about ads. So we're no longer going to do affiliate ads. We're not going to add in like manufactured ads. Instead, we're going to like reach out to you as a community and supporters. If you guys are interested in supporting us, please buy our merch. We're going to hopefully be launching a membership very soon.
We're working on it.
We're working on
it. Hopefully by January.
January is what our goal is. So stay tuned. So if you want to continue supporting us, please do that. And also like the little ways, even if you can't monetarily support us, like share our stuff on social media. Talk about us to your friends. Like that does help, because exposure helps. So
absolutely. And we also like, we know money's tight. So like,
in this economy?
Yeah, in this economy.
We're happy with anything.
We're happy with anything. And honestly, we're just like thrilled. Like we got our Spotify Wrapped.
Oh my gosh.
And we had, okay, like, so like we're both like hermit introverts. Like we don't leave our houses.
We don't do anything.
Unless we have to.
Yeah.
So like on our Spotify Wrapped, we had like 104. We were 104 people's number one podcast.
I didn't even expect 5.
Dude.
So that was like,
how cool is that?
We're no Taylor Swift, but we're pretty good.
I mean, I think we're great, but like, that was
you guys
so
like
cool.
Us.
Yeah. I mean, thank you.
Yeah. That touched our hearts.
Yes.
That and like the feedback Mindy was getting, and you guys are just awesome.
Yeah.
You're probably,
we love
the
you.
Best.
And,
yeah.
And sorry to keep you waiting. Like we're hoping to be back with a bang.
This is an awesome episode. This is going to be an awesome
episode.
Oh, I'm
stoked.
Too. We're coming back strong. So keep interacting and stuff. And I'm going to start like inserting like listener suggestions as episodes too. And we'll give you guys shout outs if you want. If you don't, that's fine too.
We've gotten some suggestions. Like it's all added to the repertoire. So.
I've gotten, and most of this is people that I know directly, but like some of them are comments. But I've gotten a lot of like, you should do this case on your podcast. Some of the people, it's so
well,
funny.
I mean,
think we're detectives too. Like, you should solve this on your podcast. And I'm like, that's not
in
really.
Our minds. In our minds, we're detectives,
that's not
but
really
we're not.
What we do. But
no.
I'd like to think I could solve a crime.
But we
someday.
Do like to bring light to situations.
We do.
That are, you know, like and discuss it in like a human way, and like this is a tragic. How can we prevent this from happening?
Yeah, I like picking the obscure ones for that reason, because I like, you know, not every case gets the attention that it needs, and so they can't serve as cautionary tales. Like, I feel like that's the whole purpose of this genre, is to prepare people and protect people.
But I feel like the more that I learn about like different cases and like violent crime, like the more I know how to protect myself,
right,
and people I care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you know, unfortunately, like, being human, I don't think we're going to run out of crimes.
It's true.
Anytime
it's just going to get worse.
But, you know.
Yeah. So, without further ado, if you don't know who we are at this point, I don't feel like you would have listened to our spiel at the beginning.
Us rambling,
but this
on.
Is Cookies and Crime. It's okay. We'll get back into a rhythm and we'll introduce ourselves in a more regular manner. This is Cookies and Crime. And the premise of our show is we have true crime and snack time.
That's right.
That's our jam.
That's what we do.
That's our jam. Mindy brings the snacks and I bring the crime. So today's case, everyone has heard of this one. Everyone has heard of this case. Even if you're not a true crime lover, like you have heard of, it's like pretty pervasive in pop culture. So as a disclaimer, though, this is one of those cases, too, where my mind was almost changed. Almost. I don't think it was totally, though.
This happens a lot.
We'll discuss it. Well, the more I dive into other sources, the more I'm like, my mind opens to other possibilities, which I guess is a good thing. Like, that's, you know, the point of aging and gaining wisdom. But I'm not sold on anything. But all of these theories that I'm going to probably just word vomit is speculation. We don't have, I will present the facts, but a lot of our opinions are like, don't take it as gospel, is what I'm going to,
that's our disclaimer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're not experts. We just like talking about it.
This is a commentary for for entertainment and education, but not for like, don't take it too seriously.
Okay. Yeah. And we, that's all.
Yeah. We're ready.
I had a thought, it'll come back. It's gone.
Let's go. Did you remember the poem?
Oh,
that would
hold
be the
on,
perfect way
on,
to
hold
introduce
on, hold
the
on, hold
oh,
on,
she's
hold
gonna
on,
Google it. Hang
hold
on, please
on.
Hold.
I'll but it, no, it is.
A little
it is.
Bit. If you can recite the poem, that'd be the perfect intro to what case we're talking about today.
I think this poem hits. Like, it's a sick poem.
It
but
is.
But also,
it's a bop. Let's go.
Okay. But also not okay.
But also, this is a crime and people died.
Okay. Have you heard this one? Lizzie Borden took an axe. She gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Ooh. I just got goosebumps. I get goosebumps.
I did too.
Every time I read that
I did
poem.
Too. That's so creepy.
Yeah, and it's not accurate, but it's creepy. So the case today is the infamous case of
Lizzie Borden.
Which, interesting, her name is Lizzie. It's not Elizabeth.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. So this story takes place in Fall River, Massachusetts. So we're in old school America.
Listen, yeah. There's something really creepy about New England area.
Yeah, especially Massachusetts. I mean, a lot of like the older cities in New England, not like New York City, but like the old ones that still look old and colonial.
Mm-hmm. There's a vibe there.
Yeah, like people have died.
Here. Well, and also Salem.
Oh, yeah. You know? I actually should have looked into this, but I don't know how far away Fall River is from Salem. But this story has... Yeah, this story's...
Yeah.
It's like more intense than I thought it was.
I honestly, I feel like I haven't gone in depth with this. Like, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, but I think we all just kind of take the poem at face value and we're like, oh, yeah, she's a killer who killed her dad and her stepmom. Like, that's it. It's cut and dry. It's actually not cut and dry. It's very complicated. Kind of muddy, as cases are,
life is, yeah,
it's true, especially in a time. Crime takes place in 1892, which is like way before forensics were.
It's like the best time to do a crime.
It is. If you're gonna, I mean,
if you want to do a crime,
you can't do it now. But if you're gonna do a crime, go back in time and do it
in the
1800s or before.
They don't know anything.
Yeah, before forensics were a thing, you could get away with murder because a lot of it is based on witness statements, which are unreliable. Anyway, let's first introduce the Borden family. We have Andrew Borden, who is 69 at the time that this story takes place. We're adults. He was a real estate and manufacturing kind of guy. He was like a businessman. He did really well for himself. They were not a poor family. He was able to support his whole family, including his adult daughters, which we'll talk about in a second. And he had a house full of servants, which... sounded, in all of my sources, it sounded like that was, like, a really notable thing and not, like, the most common thing. I guess most households, depending on how wealthy they are, have, like one or two. Like, a maid and a cook or something. They had, like, a full...
They were fully staffed.
Fully staffed. Dang. They were a very well-staffed household.
Wow.
Yeah. However, Andrew Borden was not, like, a likable guy. He was kind of a miser. He also didn't live... according to his paycheck. He lived way below his means, which
that's interesting.
Financially very smart, right?
Sure.
If you're his kid, though, and you're, like, old enough to understand how much money your dad has and he's not spending it on you, I could see where hard feelings would come in. He was so cheap, and they lived so frugally that they didn't have indoor plumbing or gas lighting, which at that point was common enough that he could have had all those amenities in his house, but he was like, I don't want to spend the extra money.
Andrew?
That's expensive. But he has a lot of money. he's a wealthy man.
Comfortably going to the bathroom does not have a price.
That's a price. That's priceless.
Amen. That's like one of the.
But
one
do
of the
you?
Reasons,
I guess.
Other than medical care, that's one of the reasons when people ask, like, what time period would you have preferred to be born in? I'm like, well, today, because I would be dead anywhere else.
Oh, same.
But also, I really hate. Yeah. Hey. I would also like to have running water and a comfortable toilet
Dude,
to do my business
I don't
on.
Be all stinky. Just
no. And especially
go outside.
Like later in this case, this comes up, which is kind of weird, but also like. Feminine needs are so much easier now.
Can you imagine?
The invention of tampons, best invention.
Can like, you imagine, though? Like, what did they do?
Cloth. Just
cloth, free, just out here free bleeding.
Stuff, just free bleeding. Well, I think that's not why for me. A lot of cultures, they just stayed home the entire time. They just never left the house. And you'd have to, because what would you do in public? You could not leave the house. You couldn't. Anyway, okay, so that's Andrew.
Andrew.
Aside from the period talk, that's Andrew. Sarah Borden, his first wife, was a very peculiar woman and apparently had a bad temper. That's basically all I found on
this
her.
This is the stepmom?
This is the first wife.
Okay, okay.
She is the mother of Lizzie and Abby, but we'll... No, Lizzie and Emma, which we'll get to in a second. But, like, Sarah came from a family... which we'll talk more about her family later in the case, but Sarah came from a quote-unquote peculiar family. That's the most that I found on her. Bad temper, peculiar. And people back then, they would use words like peculiar and
a great
queer
word.
And strange for like, I mean, maybe they were so, all...
For somebody that's kind of weird.
Yeah,
like that's
you're just
that's,
a weirdo.
Right, right.
Like that could mean anything back then because they didn't have a big handle on like mental health.
Mm-hmm.
They could be all neurodivergent and they're just... That's a peculiar family.
Right.
Or they could all be like borderline serial killers. We don't know what spectrum they fall on because the phrases are used so commonly back then for like anything even reasonable. So Emma Borden was their firstborn. Okay. She's Lizzie's older sister. And she promised her mother on her deathbed that she would take care of Lizzie. Sarah died shortly after Lizzie was born. So that's important. So Emma was basically a second mother
gotcha.
To Lizzie. She made
That's
this
sad.
Her life's pursuit to take care of Lizzie too. So Emma was like ultimate sister mom, basically. She was like, this is my life's work is to raise my sister, which is like sweet, but Lizzie's an adult at this point in the
yeah,
story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, now that we're to Lizzie, Lizzie's full name is Lizzie Andrew Borden.
Stares into the camera.
Andrew.
That's a choice.
Have you, for anyone who watches New Girl, when I like read this point, there's an episode of New Girl where Jess is helping with her father's wedding and she's like the best man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, you're the best man. That's kind of interesting. And she says, my dad really wanted a boy. My middle name is Christopher. And that was like the first thing that popped in my head. I was like, Lizzie Andrew, but he
yeah,
wanted a boy so bad.
That's a choice.
And his wife died so quickly after Lizzie was born. He was like, you're the one. Lizzie Andrew.
Okay.
What an intro. Yeah. So at the
I'm
time.
Not, I'm going to say I'm not like huge team Andrew right now. Not that he like deserves 40
Nor would I expect
whacks,
you to. Yeah, I don't think anyone deserves
but,
that. But he,
you know,
he wasn't. You kind of see why.
Kind of sounds like a douche.
Someone like a lot of people probably wanted to kill this man. Like it's probably not like a
fair enough.
An unusual feeling. Hard feelings towards him was not uncommon. So Lizzie was born in 1860. So at the time of the story that we're about to tell, she's 32 years old. Now Emma's like a lot older than her.
Gotcha.
And they're both at this point spinsters. Which is not, like, no shame, especially in this day and age, no shame for being a spinster at age 32, but it's notable because a lot of, and I'll talk about this a little bit more later, a lot of pop culture tries to, I kind of hate when they do this, portray Lizzie as a spinster because she was a lesbian. Which maybe she was. I mean, we don't know. There's mm-hmm. absolutely no evidence supporting this. There's like a Kristen Stewart movie of this story where the whole thing that they add this whole element of her having an affair with the maid. And that's what motivated her to kill her parents. And I'm like, I respect the creative liberty. But also, like, if we're talking about the actual real case, not like a Hollywood script, she didn't necessarily have to. That didn't have to be her motive. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it already sounds like, you know, her dad wasn't that great. Sorry, right. I have to shift around a lot because of the EDS.
She's
so
going to keep moving
I'm
around.
Sorry.
You are perfectly fine. No apologies necessary. Lizzie's like, okay, so she's the youngest child. She's kind of babied by Emma. At this point in her life, quote unquote, spinsterhood, she is really ambitious and very active in her church and community, which I feel like should be kind of. Like she had a good reputation. Her family was kind of, you know, because her dad was a rude dude and her birth mom was weird.
So it's not like she was like a shut-in.
Exactly. She wasn't reclusive. Mm-hmm. She was involved. She was social. Ambitious. She wasn't like
that's the weird girl, obviously.
She wasn't like the writers who hit spinsterhood and they hid in their room all day and wrote books like Jane Austen. Like, she wasn't like a Jane Eyre kind of like, or a Charlotte Bronte kind of figure. She was a lot more involved. So now we've come to Abby Borden.
The youngest.
She is the stepmother.
Okay.
So Abby joined the family 3 years after Sarah died. So Lizzie was 3 years old, and which I feel like is notable because there's this huge rift between Lizzie and Abby. And this is the only mom she knows, like other than like her sister, Emma. It reads like this whole case kind of reads like she was a rebellious teenager when mm-hmm. her dad remarried mm-hmm. and was like, you're not my mom. But no, she was like a 3 year old who wouldn't even remember who her mom was. Yeah. And I mean, unless Emma filled her head with this poison about this figure in their life, maybe it was Emma motivated. I don't know. But Abby, it sounds like, her maiden name is Gray. Her name is Abby Durfee Gray. They married 3 years after Sarah died. Her relationship with both sisters was not good. They actually both called her Mrs. Borden. They didn't call her mom. They didn't call her Abby. They called her Mrs. Borden. At home in their personal life. That's what they called her.
That's
wild. Yeah.
Well, that makes me think that like maybe she was kind of the B word.
You would think.
Okay.
Just wait.
Why would you make your children, even if they're your stepchildren, that's so weirdly.
It's weird. This family dynamic is way weirder than I thought it was. I also assumed the same thing. I was like, it's just a terrible stepmom situation because that's like a classic in most stories. They hated them, and she turned...
Good night, Mrs. Borden.
Right. You could, assume that, maybe she turned the dad against the daughters and wasn't giving them any money, and they were like, we're going to seek revenge, and then, attacked both of them. That's actually, according to the general consensus of the town, that wasn't the case. Abby was the friendly one. She was the one that everybody liked. She was the one that was apologetic for, her husband's bad manners. It was strange. It was strange.
Was it the dad?
Maybe. One of the things that a lot of people speculate could have motivated the crime itself is that Abby's sister, let me read that right. Okay, so the Borden sisters thought Abby was after their dad's money. Valid, I mean.
Sure.
Again, it's a weird thing for a three-year-old to think about her stepmom, sure. But whatever. Emma, I could see Emma being you're a gold digger. But so Abby was a little paranoid though, because of this friction. Where's my note about her sister? We might get to it. This is one of those scripts that I wrote a month ago and have not revisited, but, so she was paranoid. This is interesting. Okay. So a little while before the crime that we're going to just the infamous crime, everyone in the family got sick. And Abby immediately thought they were poisoned. But she didn't say by who. She didn't, speculate that her stepdaughters were trying to kill everyone. She did, though, acknowledge that her husband was unlikable. So, I think some of her paranoia was, maybe the townspeople hate us and they're...
Wait, so Abby said...
Abby, wife. Yeah, the wife, the stepmom. Everyone got sick and she was like,
Did she get sick?
Yes.
That's interesting.
She's like, I think someone poisoned us. Maybe they did. Who even knows? People thought she was a little bit. They're like, maybe. So that actually turned out to be food poisoning was what my source, the source that I'll list all the sources in the show notes. But a source said that it was meat food poisoning, which is probably pretty common. They didn't have refrigeration the way we have it now. It's also. Oh, this might be. Yeah. So I made a note that she's cast as the villain. From all of the perspectives of the family, because the daughters hated her, right? All of the accounts of the townspeople paint her as the nicest person in the household. And it sounds like, other than like the fact that Lizzie was active in the community, it sounds like most of the Bordens had kind of like a rigid personality.
Yeah.
That's why Abby seemed like the nice one, because she was the one that was like maintaining relationships. Yeah. She was like apologizing.
Because that's so like impersonal to call someone like Mrs.
Yeah.
Like in your own home.
And that's such a smack in the face. Yeah, like, did she? Sure. I would like to know if we're missing a story here where something happened that caused Emma to be so cold.
Like, how uncomfortable to live in
it. If I were Emma, and I just watched my mom die 3 years ago, giving birth to my sister, and I was now taking care of my sister, and my dad so quickly got remarried, I would be mad at my dad. I don't know if I would take it out on Abby. I definitely don't think I would poison my three-year-old sister.
No, for sure not.
To think that about Abby. Like, she didn't even give her a chance to have a relationship with Abby. I don't know. It's strange. It was like...
Yeah, that's
It
that's
sounds
weird.
Like poor Abby just married into an unpleasant family. That's what it sounded like to me, based on... everything.
He's like, go outside and go to the bathroom.
No warmth. No warmth for you. No gas.
You can
heating.
Refer to me as Mr. Borden.
Mr. Borden. That's okay. 100%. Rehydrate. We're going to dive into the day of the crime.
All right. Here we go.
August 4th, 1892. So Emma is out of town. That's notable because I would assume she would be the mastermind. But she's out of town for 2 weeks. Like, it's like a long-standing kind of visit that she's having with friends. Uncle John Morse is in town visiting. John is Sarah's brother. So he is the birth mom's...
The mom that died.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
This is why I think that's notable.
Lizzie's uncle.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Uncle from her birth mom's side of the family, staying in the house with his former brother-in-law, and his new wife and their daughters. It's weird. I'm telling you, this family dynamic, I don't really get it. It sounds like it was nothing. Like, all of the accounts are like, he was visiting his cousin that was in town at the time. Nothing weird about this visit for him. But I'm like, oh, his whereabouts aren't really like pinned down. Again, this time of history, like, hearsay is basically what's running this case. So if like two people say, yeah, I think he was visiting his cousin so-and-so,
like, that's
they're gonna be like, there's no way you wouldn't lie about that. Like, obviously that's correct and we won't look into it further. So anyway, I'm deviating. Uncle John is in town visiting. So this is like the head count of the household would be at this time Abby, Andrew, and Lizzie, with the like staff too, but like family wise, those are the only three that are in the house. Maggie, the maid, whose name is Bridget Sullivan. I don't know how you get Maggie out of Bridget, but her nickname is Maggie. So like, she's referred to both.
Fascinating.
That's in previous, like in various areas of these accounts. So Maggie, the maid, is the, oh, my brain. Oh, it is
the,
is the servant that is like there. So it's Maggie, Andrew, Abby, Lizzie, and Uncle John are all in the house.
Gotcha.
Okay. Apparently, again, as I said, apparently Uncle John left in the morning to visit other relatives and cousins that lived in town, since he was already visiting the area anyway. Andrew, Mr. Borden, took a walk that morning to stop by some of the buildings that he owned downtown. Because, again, he was in real estate. So I'm sure he was, like, a landlord, too.
He wants
like,
to
he did a
empire.
Lot of things. Yes. He's, like, strolling his kingdom. Abby was doing some cleaning in the guest room. I think that's admirable because she had servants.
Yeah.
And she was still cleaning. Like, these little details.
God, I would be can you imagine having servants?
Yeah.
Like,
I wonder if she came from kind of a poorer family. It kind of sounds like it.
I just can't imagine like somebody like cleaning up my messes.
I don't think that's a behavior of someone who is a gold digger either.
Yeah.
Because if she's marrying Mr. Borden for his money, like,
unless according to TV, really trying to like put on a front.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. Yeah, she was cleaning the guest room because Uncle John was staying in it and she wanted to keep it tidy. So she was cleaning.
She wants a clean room for Uncle John.
Clean room. Lizzie was in the dining room ironing. Also interesting because they have a maid, but that's fine. Maggie, the maid, was washing the outside windows and then went up to her room to take a nap. the city hall bell indicated to Maggie, this is Maggie, this part's in Maggie's account, the city hall bell went off telling her that it was 11 a.m. And at 11 a.m., she also just then hears Lizzie shouting for her to come downstairs. Lizzie shouted, allegedly, "Maggie, come down quick, father's dead, somebody came in and killed him." So Maggie runs downstairs and sees Mr. Borden on the couch in the living room, quote, "hacked beyond recognition. His face had gotten basically all of the strikes, presumably, from the axe." And, which is like, his face. That's not like someone's back. That's not, that, you're looking, you're looking right at him.
Yeah.
Hacking that face up. And he's on the, yeah. So he's on the couch with his face hacked up. She can't even barely recognize him. I'm assuming she recognized him from his clothes and just assumed that's who he was. So Lizzie goes out to the porch. Her neighbor, Adelaide Churchill, had heard the yelling and was like out on her porch, and she like came out. She's like, "What's going on?" And Lizzie tells her, like, "Go fetch the doctor. Father's been killed." It doesn't sound like she was panicking necessarily. Lizzie kind of strikes me as like a to business kind of a lady. So maybe she was like in like control mode where she's like, we gotta do something. Some people, when
you could be in shock.
Yeah,
too.
Some people.
Like,
yeah.
If her version of events is true.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally like be in shock and like not emote how people would, you know, assume you should.
Yeah, very likely. Because Maggie and Adelaide's accounts didn't really say that she was hysterical. They noted other things, but then not like.
Was she covered in blood?
No.
Fascinating.
No blood, and that,
like,
it gets more interesting with that, with the evidence side of this case too, but let's continue. So she tells Adelaide to get the doctor because her father's been killed. Adelaide immediately goes over before she does this, and she sees no blood anywhere in this room except on Andrew Borden, who's been hacked with an axe. Why, tell me, is there no blood on the furniture, on the floor, on anyone's clothes, on the wall? Nowhere. There's only blood on the body itself.
What?
Super, super strange for a crime this
intense.
Somebody
dextered the room.
Also because your head bleeds a lot.
For
just
sure.
a small cut.
For sure. Like, I've seen, like,
gushes
called on.
On like little
like
nicks.
Yeah,
because
there's a lot of vascular.
The veins, man. You're like that would be heavy bleed, and you're getting hacked in the head. Yeah, that's
okay,
a lot
how,
of bleeding.
How many times did you say he was?
I don't have a count for him, but it was not 40. The poem is like grossly exaggerated.
Yeah.
There's an exact count for the stepmom, but
how
I'll
old
get
is Lizzie?
Lizzie's 32.
At the time.
At the time.
And like, do we know anything about her physical? How big she was?
She is kind of like, she was short, but she wasn't like super, super like tiny. She was small.
Like, why I ask is because an axe is heavy. I don't know if you've ever like wielded an axe before, but like it's heavy for a lady.
We're going to get to this specific murder weapon too, because that was found. That was theoretically found. A lot of this, by the time I was done researching it, a lot of it I was like, I don't believe anything anymore. Like, nothing is real. Nothing is real. I don't believe the evidence at all. Because, I mean, they don't have any processes like we do now. There's no, like, ways to prevent contamination of the crime scene, of the murder weapon, stuff like that. Like, they don't have any of that. So a lot of this, in theory, they found the murder weapon. But we'll get to that. Okay, so, it's notable that Lizzie is sitting in the kitchen when Adelaide, like, comes through the door. So I lied. I'm assuming Adelaide did go tell someone to
fetch
get
the
doctor
or,
and then
yeah.
was like, I'm going to go look at this. And that's when she saw no blood and the dead body.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So Lizzie claims that she can corroborate this part of the story. Lizzie heard Adelaide come into the house. Lizzie was sitting in the kitchen when she... Wait, that's two different stories. See, this is another problem. I found this exact scene told like two or three different times. So one of the versions has Lizzie going outside as if she's going to pursue it and go find some help.
Gotcha.
And that's when she talks to her on the porch. This version that I actually made note of, Adelaide comes into the house because she hears the yelling.
Okay.
Sees
okay.
it. Well, so that's two between versions. The two, like, we don't know what to believe. But in this version, when Adelaide comes into the house instead of talking to her on the porch, she comes into the house. Lizzie's sitting in the kitchen and is very, like, calmly, like, dad's dead. We need to go get the doctor. Like, tells her the whole thing. And she's not panicking. She's not. Again, she could be in shock, but she's, like, kind of sitting. She's sitting at the table. Her face looks a little rough. So, like, she's not happy. She's not expressing, like, joy. She's probably, again, she's probably in shock. She's just sitting in the kitchen, like, we need to get the doctor. Father is dead. Father's been killed. She uses the phrase killed because obviously, like, there's no other way he could have died. But, like, she jumps to, like, an intruder kind of a story. And that's important. So in her whole narrative, it's like, there was an intruder. Someone came in and killed him. But Adelaide and Maggie go upstairs. And I don't know. I couldn't find what prompted them to go upstairs. Maybe they were looking for Abby. Maybe they were like,
well, I mean,
her husband is dead. Yeah, we should tell the lady of the house. They go upstairs and they find Mrs. Abby Borden dead and cold. She's been dead for a while. Cold in the second floor in that room she was cleaning face down. She was hacked 19 times in the back of the head.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hers was in the back. So that, like...
Ooh.
Honestly, now that I'm, like, thinking about it in retrospect, it sounds more brutal to kill your dad to his face. Like, hacking your face is way more personal than whacking your stepmom in the back of the head. Back of the head, you're not looking at her face. It's, like, dehumanizes her because you can't see the face.
Dude, I didn't realize, like, how gruesome this
was. Face down, she's on the floor, and she's been dead. Hold on, I might be skipping ahead because I know I have the autopsy. Well, I'll correct myself later.
19 if I'm times, wrong, you said?
I'm pretty sure 19 times back of the head for Abby. And I'm pretty sure she was dead for like 45 minutes before he was. So like she was killed first.
Okay.
And then he came home and took a nap and then he got killed.
That's really interesting.
So the immediate assumption, naturally, because also of Lizzie's story, is that there was a violent intruder. Like that's the assumption. You're not going to. At least back then, I guess, you're not going to assume it was the family. Like, these days, you'd be like, the spouse is the first suspect. Yeah, if always, the spouse is also dead.
Whoever's closest to you is usually the first suspect.
Yeah, so if this were a case today, they would be, like, heavily leaning on Lizzie as the culprit, which makes
anybody
sense to
me. Was in the house, really.
Yeah. So when they pursued this violent intruder theory, though, they remembered, well, Abby was a little paranoid. They lived downtown. The front door had triple locks on it. The back door had been locked. No one saw anyone unusual approach the house. The only door that could have been unlocked is the side door. But this is unconfirmed if it was locked or not. Like, I couldn't find anywhere. Like, one source said maybe it was unlocked, but no one else could confirm otherwise. So, and this happened way too long ago, obviously. I can't ask anybody. But, the majority of the entry points were locked. And also all these people were home. So they would have heard something else. They would have heard someone break in, you know, but that's fine. The media naturally like had a field day. This is a double homicide.
Of a wealthy couple. That's big news.
With an axe. Like that's so theatrical.
That's juicy now.
Hence the poem, guys. This is why it's such an iconic case. So it went nationwide front page news for like a while. Sure. For a while.
I mean, the media hasn't changed too. I mean,
it's the same.
People are drawn, like, they want to know.
They love the gruesome stuff.
It's a bizarre human. Yeah.
And as far as like actual facts and forensics, the Gilded Age is what this time period is called, which I love that. I love that name.
Some great artwork came out of the Gilded Age.
Yes. Also,
in architecture.
As we've said before, great murderers have come out of that age. Like, it's the perfect time period to get away from murder.
Because that's Jack the Ripper.
Yes, it is. Yep. Super basic, very little minimal forensics.
And Spring-Heeled Jack as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you can get, like, there's a wide margin for error. I mean,
like, we didn't invent killing in our modern age.
No. It's been around. We've advanced investigation.
We've advanced investigation and
people have just had to get more creative, I guess, these days. So back then, like, seriously, the investigators, the poor guys, like, were trying their best. But there were no protocols. Like, there was nothing.
It's just someone with a magnifying glass. He's like, a clue.
Oh, there's blood there.
It doesn't matter. We can't test it. Somebody clean this up.
John Mulaney's bit on that is like my favorite take this time period with crime, because they like drew chalk the thing. around the body, and he's like, let's do that so we know where they were.
It's so
sir, there's
though.
Blood in the hallway. Gross. Clean that up.
Gross.
Like, they don't
funny.
Pursue it. Well,
it's
they
so
couldn't,
true.
And they couldn't test blood anyway, so they didn't care. They were like, there's a lot of blood, so a crime took place. Not like, let's find out whose blood it is, right? So there was so much contamination of this crime scene that it's like obscene.
Yeah.
Yes. So when, oh, dang, I lost my spot. Contamination of crime scene. Oh, everyone in the neighborhood basically trampled through this house. Okay, so it's not...
They all want to look.
And he was such a prominent person. Whether they liked him or not, he was a prominent figure in the community. And so was Lizzie. And this is her family. So they're like, oh, we definitely want to see where it happened. Based on the autopsies, the only... Oh, I was wrong about the minutes. The only thing they could super confirm was that Abby died about 90 minutes.
So an hour and a half.
Before Andrew. So not 45. Isn't a full hour and a half this woman was killed and
That's
lying dead before Andrew got home. Like, she was cold to the touch. Andrew was still oozing blood. So he was, like, fresh kill.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, where did... Oh, okay. So Lizzie was interviewed. This is another, like, protocol thing that I think... I mean, we've gone over cases where this exceptions are made and, like, people don't necessarily follow protocol. Like, if you're rich enough, you can get away with whatever you want. But, like, Lizzie was interviewed 5 days after the event by police.
That's interesting.
Five days.
That's a long time to make up a story.
I'm trying to think of, like, a case we've done, too, where they waited, like, a long time.
We've had them.
We've had them.
Because you're, like, you know, like...
Like, why wouldn't you talk to them right away?
And now, also, the memory fades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to get that down on paper ASAP.
Yeah. There's, like, a science to it, I'm sure, because, like, if you get them freshly after it happened, they're in shock. They might not even be able to communicate with you. But then, again, like, if you wait too long, the memory's muddied. Mm-hmm. They're also suggestible, because if they're staying with someone who wants them to think a certain way, and they're
For
like,
sure.
this is what happened to you, you're, like, you're manipulating the memory.
Yep.
So there's, like, a perfect time, and I don't think most people get it, and that's why witness statements are so unreliable. But Lizzie, they waited 5 days. 5 days, and then they tried to solidify, like, the timeline, which I just...
That's really...
I just told you the timeline.
That's
really what Lizzie claimed happened, okay? She also claimed... So at 9:30, when the autopsy says that Abby fell dead, Lizzie claims she didn't hear anything, despite Abby being short and stout, weighing about 200 pounds. This is not a small woman, like, petite woman. If she fell... In a house,
probably would have heard it.
You would have heard it,
especially if she fell that hard.
And especially if you're downstairs ironing,
sure.
She's basically right above you.
Yeah.
So you would have heard that.
Was she fell on the
It's
bed,
like a reason.
Maybe?
No, she fell on the floor. She like stayed where she fell, face down on the floor. According to her timeline, she was ironing in the living room with, and Maggie was outside washing the window. So I would see Maggie maybe not hearing because she was outside.
Mm-hmm.
But Lizzie would have, like, presumably been right relatively beneath her.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't think I buy that. But Lizzie then claims that Andrew returned home at 10:45 and greeted his daughter and then took a nap on the couch. The autopsy says that he died 45 minutes into this nap. So if her timeline is right, he died 45 minutes in. That's not a satisfying nap. It's like
a
least...
A nap you do not wake up from.
I mean, yeah. So I guess, yeah. So Lizzie's, like, naturally, she's the popular suspect. Once they, like, got rid of the violent intruder theory, they're like, obviously. Obviously it's Lizzie. She was famously tried. Like, she was put on trial and everything. But the question that is generally unresolved is, like, the motive. No one can settle on the motive. So in the inquest, Lizzie told the police that she and Emma wanted a better life. And remember, Andrew was cheap. He was cheap. He didn't even have indoor plumbing.
It doesn't even sound like he was cheap, but also it sounds like he maybe, like, could have been a little neglectful.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
maybe
I
he was like depriving them, like literally depriving them of like.
Could be with the kind of like attitude he seems to have. I wouldn't be surprised if he was abusive too. Like, yeah. But there's also no evidence of that. I've seen a ghost show because I'm crazy.
One time
I watched Ghost Adventures. Well, they went
and
to,
I learned.
They went to the house and this medium was with them, and she like they did a seance and they channeled her like spirit or whatever, and tried to like paint this narrative that like Andrew had sexually assaulted Lizzie and that's why she killed him. And I was watching it the whole time and I'm like, first of all, I'm iffy about all mediums as a default.
Yeah, just because like
especially on TV.
Yeah.
But so like I was already skeptical, and then she was like saying this whole story and I'm like, there's like nothing to like they did consider stuff like that, and granted they couldn't collect evidence the way they could now that's what was happening, but like no one even they didn't like I don't know. And Lizzie didn't do that. Lizzie didn't say when she was on trial, yes, I did it because he did this to me.
Yeah.
She just claimed not guilty. She was just like, no, why would I do that? Why would I kill my dad? There's no reason. Granted, maybe she wasn't conniving enough to come up with a better defense, but
this
I don't
is
know.
Really interesting.
Isn't it like way more complicated than you would think? So, let me scroll. I lost my spot in my notes too. Okay. So yeah, the motive is unresolved. Oh yeah. So she told police that my dad's cheap. We wanted a better life. We're not living as comfortably as we could be. And I know that as an adult now that he makes all this money and we could be living way better. And this is the part that I was trying to remember. The girls resented their dad recently because they didn't let them live the high life, but then didn't hesitate to buy Abby's half-sister a house.
This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that these daughters are like way more neglected than like new wife and new, you know. He just like that's what it reads like to me, but this is all.
That's what her story does. That's what her side of the story
like,
does.
I'm
sound
kind
like
of
that.
Like leaning to like on Lizzie's side.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Which like, I don't know is scandalous.
I'm not. I'm like, this is one of those cases. I'm actually. It's not even like Scott Peterson.
No, I'm not saying that like they deserve to die.
Well, no. But like you're seeing a motive.
Like,
you're seeing.
I'm definitely seeing like something like building here and like, okay, because that is super, super personal.
To hit
somebody 20 times in the
and
back.
And it's more personal to the dad than the stepmom.
Absolutely. But like this was like a fiery personal rage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want you to remember the personal side of that, though, when I talk about my theory that I first came up with when I read this. Honestly, I genuinely ended this research with I'm neutral and I have no idea. Like, I don't have opinions anymore.
I know.
But I did. Like,
I want to feel resolved.
Well, I can tell you my theory that I still don't hate. Okay. That like still could be the case, but I don't have any other evidence, mostly because they give us so little to work with. Anyway. Okay. So. She mentions this motive, this potential motive, like dad bought my stepmom's sister a house, but he won't even pay for indoor plumbing. Like, we can't live the high life.
True.
Yeah, that is, I would be upset. Not like whack you in the face with an axe upset, but I would be bitter about it.
For sure.
So the crime was brutal. And there's no doubt that buying the stepmother's sister's a house would cause that level of rage at this point. Like the media is like, obviously she killed her dad because he bought her mom's sister a house. Like, obviously this is the case, right? I already said that part.
Also, if you hear Boone in the background, he's just protecting us from all the bad guys.
From the mailman and stuff. Say hi to Boone. Hi, Boone.
Yeah, he sounds like a were, like, it's like having your own werewolf,
really.
Yeah. Because, like, he stands up on the couch, like, when anybody, like, walks in front of the
house. He's very good at his job.
He takes it very seriously.
He's a good boy. Yeah.
Anyway, you
ready to dive into evidence?
Yes, please.
The little evidence they have. The evidence gets interesting because I was frustrated with the lack of forensics, but also, like, it gives you more ideas. Okay, so the blood is a huge sticky point, okay, for everyone universally when talking about this case. Like, the blood is an issue. The lack of blood, rather, is the issue.
Yeah.
The head bleeds a lot. Even a small cut would have had a lot more. The furniture should be bloody.
Right.
At the very least, right? And Lizzie wasn't covered in blood. The room wasn't covered. If Lizzie did doesn't she have blood on her?
Unless she wore like some kind of like, because plastic's not invented at this time. Like unless she had some
if it's not a common household thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like it's possible.
They found two pieces of evidence because they thought maybe she changed clothes.
Right, right, right.
They had found two pieces of evidence that suggested that Lizzie came in contact with blood. Number one, her undergarments, and a bucket of rags in the washroom. This is going to kill you because this made me so grateful that I live in 2023. Lizzie explained.
I think I know where you're going.
They're like, Lizzie, why is there blood on your underwear? And why is there blood on these rags in the washroom? And she said,
"I'm menstruating." Something happens sometimes.
Right. So like on the one side, I'm like, oh, that's a super understandable explanation. And I, you like, that's perfectly reasonable. On the other hand, I'm like, if I was going to commit a murder and I was a woman back then when they can't test for menstrual blood, because you can test now and tell if it is from your uterus.
That's
not
crazy.
Like, isn't that weird?
That's
they
crazy.
Can tell if blood is menstrual blood or if it's like caused by an injury. We live in a wild time. But back then they couldn't
really
do that.
Like it's impressive.
Yeah. If I was going to kill someone and I was Lizzie Borden, I would 100%. And also these cops probably got so uncomfortable the second she was like, my lady time of the month, I was menstruating. And they're like, oh, gross. Stop.
Oh my God.
Uterus.
Stop saying.
I'm sure that it was like a really fast, like, we're not going
to
pursue
of,
this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, hey Boone
came.
He's
to
joined
us
the in studio.
Came. Oh no, no, no. Boone!
He tried to.
He wanted to be on camera.
He wants to
it's
be
okay,
a co-host. We should lower the camera.
Daddy's coming home soon.
He's like waiting. He's like, where is he? Let me check the audio. Make sure we didn't lose you guys. Okay, we're good. We're good. We're good. Our third co-host did not wreck the recording. Okay. So
he said, guys,
this is urgent.
This is serious.
Okay, so menstruation, we covered that. Now I lost my spot because Boone and his precious little
that's
energy.
Like, that like how like oh God, that's so vulnerable and embarrassing.
Isn't it though? Like that's why like my initial reaction was
like I feel bad.
Wow.
Like that sucks.
That's sad that she had to like defend that. You know, like now, again, like not only can they test for it, but we have very specific supplies. Back then, they just had rags to put in their undies to catch all that menstrual blood. Sorry, guys who are listening, men who are listening. But
yeah,
this is like
sorry,
real
I
life.
And it's just real life. Yeah.
Now, like it's in the it's
yeah, I'm glad
it's
to
disposed
be in the
21st
century.
Differently. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wouldn't this wouldn't be part of the case if it was now. Weird detail. This is important. This other piece of evidence. A dress was burned in the stove literally the day after the funeral. Now, remember,
no, that's,
they didn't.
That is a spicy piece of.
Right.
Okay.
They didn't talk to Lizzie until 5 days after the case had the thing happened. Right. And then a day after the funeral, they burned. Someone burned a dress in the stove.
Interesting
I don't
place
know
to burn a dress.
Yes. I don't know what the timeline was for collecting evidence. I don't have high hopes that they did it promptly based on how they collected witness statements. So this is speculation. It's likely that like the blood evidence, the menstrual blood was found around the same time. Like, mm-hmm. like all of this stuff could have been disposed of like around the same time. Yeah. Adelaide, the neighbor's not a detective. She wouldn't have gone snooping for blood. She would have been like, no blood in the living room. That's weird. Let me check on the family because she's a caring neighbor. Mm-hmm. But like police immediately should have looked for blood and should have found if the dress that was burned. Again, this part's speculation, too, because we can't confirm what was on the dress. If that dress had blood on it mm-hmm. and that was the actual blood evidence, they should have found that before anyone had the chance to burn it.
Yeah. I mean, after you like it's standard that, you know, you collect all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
As soon as possible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So weird. Okay, so next piece of weird stuff. So, oh, Lizzie and Emma for the dress burning. Lizzie and Emma's explanation for this was that the paint that paint had stained that dress, and so they had to obviously burn it. I too burn clothes when
that,
I stain
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's reaching
weird.
Nobody
it's
would
weird.
Do, nobody would do that.
Yeah. It's one of those things
that's reaching.
Yeah.
Lizzie said that?
Lizzie and Emma, both of them. So Lizzie was like, oh, we burned it because there was a stain. And
one
Emma,
of them knows the truth.
And Emma said, I 100% did. Yes, I can confirm
one
Lizzie's
story. One of
the two
knows the truth.
Oh, they both probably know the truth. Let's be real. I don't know. I don't know, man. Again, I don't have like solid opinions. I have a lot of messy opinions that aren't
that's covering
definitive.
Up evidence.
It is. So, speaking of the like earlier, you mentioned the murder weapon being an axe. When we picture axes, we picture like salt, like
yeah,
axes.
Like a fireman.
Yeah, axe. And like Lizzie, wooden. Like a woman of Lizzie's like average frame, wouldn't be able to effectively whack them with a full axe that
yeah,
we're picturing.
Like, I imagine myself,
yeah.
You know, like...
This is another embellishment.
He's back.
He's back. He's come back.
Okay.
He's not getting on the computer.
Oh, hey, buddy. How about we
I
don't?
Know, but...
Hey. Okay.
We will lock him up next time, guys. We usually do, but I trusted him. Because he's my good boy, and he's never sinned one time in his whole life.
He wants to participate.
He just wants to participate.
He, oh, hey, yeah, just don't put your hands up on my computer.
He throws his hands.
He does, he throws hands.
He likes to throw hands.
Okay. Hey.
Well, why don't you guys
take
a little snack
break?
We're going
to take a brief break.
And then we'll
say
be
goodbye,
back.
Say goodbye to Boone for just a hot second, and we'll be right back with, like, more evidence. Thanks, bye.
Sorry about that, folks.
Are we back? I think we're back. Yeah. Whoops.
Sorry about that.
Poor Boone.
We also got our lives together and realized we had been recording for like an
this
hour.
This is a lengthy episode.
This is a lengthy episode, so we're going to have to split it up.
Yeah, which is fine because the trial gets intense, and that's honestly most, like, in my opinion, the meat of this episode is the trial because
I love
like
a good trial.
We will finish up. We're going to pick up where we left off next time and dive into the axe because I was about to get to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger though. Let's like hang tight and revisit it next week. We'll talk about the axe. We'll talk about more witness statements, which don't look good for Lizzie. And then like how the trial goes. And so now we're going to end as we usually do on a sweet note. Mindy, what is our treat today?
I actually like kind of wish that I had popcorn because this is such like a like
this would be a good popcorn
listening
one.
You know, like it's like so cinematic.
We should do it for next time because the trial is even more dramatic. Yeah.
Okay. So since we are in December,
yep.
I thought we should do something festive.
Okay.
And I have it's broken, but I have a candy cane.
Yeah.
That is like a chocolate peppermint.
I like that.
And I know. I haven't tried it yet, and I'm really excited.
That's interesting. I don't think I've had it. Maybe I have had a I haven't had a candy cane in years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like, my go-to, but...
It's one of those, like, holiday treats, though, that kind of remind you of your childhood a little bit.
Yes, for sure.
Especially stale ones that have been on the Christmas tree for too long. That reminds me of my childhood.
There's no other, like... experience.
It's
like that is a very specific, like,
it's true.
Experience.
Yeah, wait, let me take a picture.
Oh, let's make it.
So our Instagram.
Make it artistic.
Oh, beautiful! You guys get to hear our process here.
Yeah.
And see this.
This
the result
my,
on Instagram.
One of my coworkers, who I adore, gave me this, and so I'm really excited to try it. Oh, the picture has been taken.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. We have some posts that are going to go out highlighting our favorites. Wait, did they already go out?
Our top three
of the year so far. I think I want to start doing like favorite of the month. Favorite treat of the month.
Yeah.
And also we have, and we're going to post about this on Instagram very soon. We have a mailing address now. If you guys want to like send us
to try
safe food, like preferably like,
yeah.
Yeah. Also because we're diseased.
We're diseased.
Nutritional facts would be helpful. Like how many carbs are in it and stuff like that. Cause yes. Renee has to take insulin. But yeah, that would be like a fun idea.
That would be really fun.
So this is kind of contributed by, was this yours?
This
your
is
piece?
Mine, yeah.
This was kind of, my hands are clean. Oh, well, they touched your dog, but.
Well.
It's fine.
My dog touches everything in the house.
It's so. True. So you already
you,
have his
like,
germs.
Honestly, like I was thinking, like everywhere I go, mm-hmm. I have Boone hair on me. and I'm like a little piece of him.
Just you carry him with you.
I carry him with me
everywhere. Yep. Okay, ready, set, ready? Go. Oh my gosh, I like that way more than I thought I did.
Wow.
Because the chocolate's immediate.
It is.
I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Mm.
Okay.
It's like a peppermint mocha.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not even that into like the chocolate mint combos. Like mint chocolate ice cream is not my favorite ice cream. I don't.
How dare you?
I know. But I like this.
This is good.
I like this. I say that, but if you put mint chocolate chip ice cream in front of me, I will still eat it.
So fair, it's just not your favorite.
My standard's low, but
this is good.
This is good. I'm digging this.
It's very like holiday spirity. Mm-hmm.
I feel festive now.
I feel so festive.
I feel very festive.
Oh, you know what?
Should this be a five skulls? Five skulls?
I think so. Should we do question for the audience?
Mm-hmm.
Should we do Christmas merch?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that.
Do you want cookies like holidays or?
Okay.
Hanukkah
cookies. We're gonna do it anyway for shirts.
Think it's fun.
I just want
to
do it.
And we like to wear our own merch.
Pro tip, we do. Pro tip though, so shipping times. We're getting that part of December where it's kind of iffy with shipping times. So if you want them as like holiday gifts, I would get a gift card for the shop. That link will be in our description. And then once you gift the gift card. Like, we'll have holiday stuff you can buy and then wear, like, next year.
Just wear little Santa
we'll just
hats.
Wear it all winter.
I wear mine all the time.
Stuff past December 25th, dude.
And you're promoting a small business.
Exactly. And we would love you forever and we would put you on our social media. If you wanted to. Yeah. Yeah. If you liked this episode, please review it. Please comment on all the things. We have an interactive question. I'm not sure what this one is for this episode specifically yet. What should we ask? Mm.
What do you think so far?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Do you have
any theories?
What
because,
do you
like,
even
honestly,
think?
I was formulating a theory in my mind.
I don't know if the rest of the evidence and the testimonies are going to change anything. Because at this point, I mean, maybe not. I don't know. See, I don't know. Do I think she did it?
Kinda.
Maybe, yeah. Do I think someone else could have done it? Maybe, yeah. I think I know who my other choice would be.
Her sister?
No. Nope.
Uncle John?
Yeah.
We haven't learned too much about Uncle John.
We haven't. There's a character witness when we dive into the trial who, like, comments on him and the family. But maybe I already said it, actually, when I described Sarah.
I don't think you said it.
Like, a peculiar family.
You said, yeah.
There's one other person that comments on his personality, and it's like some people are like,
dude.
He's kind of weird.
Okay.
He makes me uncomfortable. But then there's another person who's like, he is the sweetest man. But I don't, again, witness and character statements don't mean anything.
Exactly.
They don't mean anything because a serial killer will be nice to his friends.
What's the most common thing you see in like an interview? Like,
he was so nice. Oh. Best neighbor.
Never thought that would happen.
He made me meat pie all the time.
Oh my god! Speaking of that,
gross.
Did you watch the Dahmer, the film?
No, I didn't. But did you see his dad just died?
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Dahmer's dad.
It's Mr. Dahmer.
Mr. Dahmer.
That's sad.
Was it
though.
His dad? What is it? It was a close relative. I think it was his dad.
That's sad.
Who just passed? I just saw it on the news. Not on the news. On my. Because my phone can read my mind and knows exactly the kind of news I like.
Man, that case.
Crazy.
We might talk about that.
I think next year we should. I mean, other than like this end of year wrap up, we should like do our favorite cases.
For sure.
What got us into true crime?
I'm telling you, for me.
Yeah.
The Manson family.
Really? See, I was going to say Dahmer.
I don't know. And then once I like read about Dahmer, because, you know, you go on a spiral.
Yeah.
Like once you learn about
That's one of your intense ones.
Yeah.
Mine was Elisa Lamb. That's what did it for me. She's on my list already. I've done research for that case already.
Oh, those elevator
so
videos.
So much. And that's why
she's doing that thing with her arms.
Uh-huh. Ah! We're gonna, in the coming year, some of the things you can look for is, I mentioned the membership already, but we also want to start introducing video content. We're testing it today, as we've tested it before.
We're testing it today, and greasy.
But
Rhymy,
she looks
unkempt,
great.
If you will.
She looks great. Don't lie to them. She looks great.
Maybe we'll release some teaser. From
we might. We're not going to. This one's not going to be a full length video episode. Those clips we might put on social media or something. But we would really like to start pushing out video content so you guys can see our snacks. And
we're letting you see the inside of my basement.
Yeah, we have a nice studio that Mindy and her family like so perfectly made for us. It's beautiful. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
I like it.
So this video setup's different than when we tested it previously, because I think in another episode we mentioned testing video, but we got to get the content right because you guys deserve the best.
Yeah.
So we're getting there. Look forward to that. Like, review, share, interact. Buy our merch again if you want to support us. That's like the best way to financially give us support. And we'll see you guys next time for part 2 when we dive into the trial. Okay, bye.
Bye.